Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. There you go.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien. Come to you from, of course, Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia. A nice, very calm, I will say at this stage, night. It's beautiful outside. It's just had a big storm hit here on the south side of the Gold Coast, where it's hit really hard but then eased off, and we've got that beautiful weather that always comes after a storm like that, and the rain is just absolutely glorious. Tonight, I thought we'd chat about one of the unsung heroes of action cinema, one of the amazing actors, first of all. He's certainly somebody with an amazing array of talent. He can do everything from drama to thrillers to comedy, and of course to this amazing action film start for him. We're talking, of course, about Wesley Snipes, who's one of my favorites, folks. I've got to say it. You know, this film, Passenger 57, Drop Zone, also U.S. Marshals, and of course Blade. Of course, let's not forget Blade. Really put his action chops up there. Obviously, he also did Demolition Man, playing, of course, Simon Phoenix, the fiendish Simon Phoenix, as they say in the film. And it's a solid, you know, bit of action entertainment. Still is. And, of course, the head of our main channel, of course, Phantom Podcast Network, Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel, absolutely swears by that film. It's his favorite film, folks. And, of course, Wesley is one of his favorite actors. But tonight we're going to talk about, of course, the film that really started his action career, which is Passenger 57. Here's the tagline for it. He's an ex-cop with a bad mouth, a bad attitude, and a bad seat. For the terrorists on Flight 163, he's very bad news. Now, it is a by-the-numbers sort of action film, and it's a bit of thriller in there. There's a little bit of a die-hard feel to it. Some great cast in it, which we're going to get into soon as well. But the big star of it, of course, is Wesley, and you really get to see his action chops. He's a martial artist, folks, which we're going to talk about his styles that he's done over the years, and he's legitimate. You know, without a doubt, his stuff on screen, obviously it's choreographed and everything like that, but you look down to the skills. Wesley's skills as a martial artist are there, you know, and one of the great things about it is those skills then went into, obviously, the other films that he's done, the other action films that he's done around that time that really featured a lot of that stuff, you know, because there's a lot of, obviously, there's action films without the martial arts as well, but I think some of those others, you know, Art of War was another one he did, which had quite a bit of action and had some martial arts in it as well, but I think the most solid one, apart from Blade, is, of course, the one we're going to be chatting about tonight. Here, just after this, this is how you can find this show and many others like it on the Lethal Mullet Network. G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, LethalMulletNetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Phantom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle @TheLethalMullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Well, what news do I have for you folks is, I've got a little bit there for you folks. One of the great things that I've been currently, over the last couple of months, doing is starting to collect some of the older action films, and of course, ones that are definitely hard to find, Avenging Force being one of them, of course, one of the greatest of the canon films line, of course, has their big star at the time, of course, the one and only Michael Dudikoff starring in that one. It's kind of like Hard Target, has that sort of feel, a little bit of an Invasion USA feel at the same time. It's got some great villains in it, and we're going to have a look at that in a couple of weeks' time. I've got a commentary that is on that one that you can listen to, which is, of course, done by the director, Sam Furstenberg, and, of course, Michael Dudikoff himself. And I've got to say, it's really entertaining, folks. I mean, Sam Furstenberg is, without a doubt, the best of the directors that worked on the canon films. He worked on a majority of the Ninja pictures with Shokasugi, and, of course, worked on the American Ninja ones, at least the first two, with, of course, the man himself, Mr. Dudikoff. I've got to say, out of all of that, yeah, he's definitely done his best work on Avenging Force. And it's a solid flick. It really feels great. And you'll see some great co-stars in that. And some villains, which you'll be like, hey, I remember that person. Or I've seen them in Total Recall, or whatever it is. We'll be looking at that as well. Fantastic stuff. We're also going to be looking at more Wesley Snipes, folks, because I think we got to. We just have to. Wesley Snipes' work, obviously, has always been something that I've been enjoying over the years. But we'll look at Demolition Man soon, which is a great film. We're also going to be looking at Blade. The original Blade, it really is the start of things for Marvel. A very serious film. You know, there's little bits of comedy here and there, and a bit, for the most part, you would not have a Batman series like the Nolan trilogy if it wasn't for this film. Even though it's a Marvel title, it certainly set a certain pace for, David S. Goyer, the way he wrote that and sort of got that feel that Marvel went for it. And without a doubt, it's got some great martial arts in it, which we're going to talk about some of his martial arts today, Wesley Snipes' stuff, without a doubt, in the dojo segment just after this. But I will say, it's got everything from kung fu influence, karate, salat, and, of course, capoeira, which is a big part of what Wesley Snipes does in the styles that he's done. So stick with us, folks. We're going to really get into some of those great films that he's done over the few years that we've obviously had him move into action film. And, you know, he's just one of the greats, folks. Let's do this.
How's your man?
Yeah.
Welcome to the dojo. Leave your shoes outside the door.
All right, so folks, let's have a look at some of the martial arts that he's done. So he began his training at the age of 12, and he has got in his training repertoire Shotokan Karate, Hapkido, and, of course, Capoeira as well, along with some Kung Fu, also Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Kickboxing. It's pretty evident in what we see on screen of Wesley doing, you know, little bits and pieces of everything there. And I do believe I saw, or at least heard in one of the commentaries for the Blade films, that he'd done a little bit of some Indonesian martial arts as well, too. So he has a 5th-degree black belt in Shotokan. So, of course, that's Japanese karate, folks. Very rigid, strong style. He has a 2nd-degree black belt in Hapkido. Yeah, that's a solid art, folks. Hapkido is, without a doubt, something that's very similar to Aikido, but along with all the joint locks, the throws, the chokes, holds, all that sort of stuff, all the wrist locks, comes the striking. So it's very high kicking art, still has a lot of the stuff you see in Taekwondo and Taekyon and Tangsudo from Korea, but it's also got all of that restraint work as well, too. Makes it a pretty well-rounded style. Also, he's trained under Mestre Gelon Verrea in, the amazing Capoeira. And of course, capoeira is something I studied in my 20s, folks. I really enjoyed it. You really need to be fit for this one. This is not something you can be even slightly overweight with and excel in. It really pushes your cardio, so you need to really be as fit as possible to be able to do a lot of the work. I mean, you could definitely do it, not as fit at your peak. But if you're at your peak with capoeira, that's where it's most effective because a lot of the stuff is very acrobatic. It's a high intensity rate. You need to be on your game. And without a doubt, you see some of the great stuff. And I mean, I've seen everything from the run-of-the-mill capoeira we see when they're playing capoeira with the music and everything like that. But I've seen people come out from, from Brazil who would come to the Gold Coast where we are when we train with, our mestre. And they were doing a very street version of capoeira, which is much more closer to judo. I wouldn't even say jiu-jitsu. It was more like judo, the grappling of it as well. So there's a real fine line there. But what we see of Wesley Snipes doing this, folks, it is tough. And he knows his stuff when it comes to that. And, of course, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Get down to it, folks. There's two Brazilian styles here. Obviously, jiu-jitsu that they do is very much suited towards the cage. And, of course, one-on-one scenarios. Big respects to, of course, anyone that studied that style. Along with kickboxing. Now, this is something definitely up the alley of Wesley style. And you see it in a lot of the films he does. Great kicker, has amazing flexibility. And that would come, obviously, from his capoeira training as well as the training he has in, obviously, Hapkido as well. So his flexibility is one of the big keys to his success as a martial artist. But he's also a very fit guy and quite muscular and strong. We get to see that in a lot of the stuff he's done over the years. Even White Man Can't Jump and stuff like that. There's a lot of that. You can see it physically. He's somebody that's, a pure athlete at heart. Without a doubt. So his strengths are all around. He really has a grounding in all those styles. But of course, when he was in New York, he was trained under his good friend and also is a mentor to him, Brooke Ellis as well. So we're talking about somebody that's studied traditional styles and has a real affinity for those, right up to the stuff that works for now, which is, of course, the street fighting stuff and, of course, the grappling that is so popular that we see along our dojos today, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Huge respects to, of course, actor and martial artist Wesley Snipes.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shea Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham, all on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back. That's the big news this week, folks, is that Dan and I have just recorded a pilot which is going to cover The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, one of my favorite universes, folks, and it's definitely the best science fiction from the United Kingdom. From the British Isles, Douglas Adams, one of the funniest men to ever walk the planet, and of course, he's certainly one of the smartest, too. You know, it comes from, the loins of Monty Python's, you know, being somebody that was also very much in love with what they were doing and their look on life. And he certainly put that with science fiction. You know, everything from the BBC radio plays all the way through to, of course, the TV show, the books, and now the movie back in 2005 as well. Really is the time to get into The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. For Dan the Man from Birmingham, of course, host of Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, and of course, owner of Spacebook on Facebook, and myself, the Lethal Mullet, we're going to bring you Deep Thought, which is life, Douglas Adams, and everything. So really looking forward to getting into that era, and of course, that universe, and really finding out what we love about it.
Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy day, you know. Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage and enjoy the show about, you know, films and all that sort of stuff.
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage.
In 1992, we saw Wesley Snipes join the action world with the action thriller Passenger 57, which you can find now on Prime Video, folks, for only $2.99. That's right, if you want to rent it, buy it, whatever it is. This is a film which certainly put him on the map when it came to his martial arts prowess. He plays a retired anti-terrorist police officer, what do you want to call it? His name is John Cutter, and he's on his way to Los Angeles on a flight when everything goes wrong. A terrorist takes control of the plane, and he's forced to use his training to save everybody aboard the plane. This is really a vehicle to show what Wesley Snipes is capable of doing as an action hero, and it did it well. This is a great platform. It certainly is. Feels like a studio picture, as it feels like it's got all the bells and whistles of that era. I mean, we're talking about a film that was put out by, you know, Wesley Snipes' amazing action skills, but through, obviously, you know, the movie made by Warner Brothers Pictures. Warner Brothers at this stage was probably the king of action films, when you think about it. You know, they owned everything from the Lethal Weapon series. They had, obviously, a range of Kurt Russell flicks on there, too. Some Sylvester Stallone ones. Tango and Cash, for example, folks. Another big one that they did as well. And, of course, Demolition Man. I mean, you know, we can keep going, folks. Wesley Snipes really hit his stride in this one, and it's great that Warner Brothers were behind it. You know, and I've got a big shout out to, of course, Warner Brothers being so close to us here with Warner Brothers Movie World, Hollywood on the Gold Coast, and of course, you know, many an action film has been shot there too, as well as, you know, many other things like Aquaman and all that sort of stuff too. So let's have a quick look at the cast, folks, first before we get into this massive, massive movie. So first up, we have Wesley Snipes playing, of course, John Cutter, who's after Bruce Payne's character, Charles Raine. Now, he's a terrorist, but he's also a sadistic and evil man who, you know, really, you love to hate him in this. Bruce Payne loves playing bad guys. Amazing actor. Who has an uncanny resemblance to Julian Sands. Yes, Julian Sands from Warlock, folks. You know, I love that film. That is Terminator, with time travel and everything, but with witches. Yes. But Bruce Payne and him go right back to, you know, obviously growing up in the UK as actors. And one of the things that Bruce Payne did was he actually took over the role of the Warlock in the third Warlock film. So Julian Sands did the first two, but it's basically meant to be a continuation. And they do look similar. He's very charismatic. He has a lot of fun in this. You could really tell that he's hamming up the role in what is meant to be quite an evil role. So, as Sly Del Vecchio in this, Tom Sizemore. Always, you know, a big one of the period, you know, like he was always turning up in everything. Tom Sizemore, I think the first role I saw him in was Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. He was in that one as a pretty much the main villain. the one that was, you know, selling off all the drugs and stuff like that, big drug pusher. But, I mean, right up to Saving Private Ryan, he's done some amazing stuff. Elizabeth Hurley as Sabrina Ritchie in this, one of the many that are helping out the terrorists. And, you know, what do we know about Elizabeth Hurley that we don't know already? Well, not a lot. But, yes, she's pretty good in this, actually. Alex Datcher playing Marty Slayton. Now, she obviously is a big part of the story, and she's got her own heroic moments in this, helping out, obviously, try and get rid of these terrorists. She's tough, and she's slick, and she really has a real, I think, in this, you know, even keel with Wesley Snipes' character. You know, she won't take any crap. Now, during that, too, we've got a Stuart Ramsey, Bruce Greenwood. That's right, Christopher Pike himself, folks, in this. And he plays Stuart Ramsey. Yeah, as Forge, we have Michael Horse. Now, you'll know Michael Horse if you're a Twin Peaks fan. Obviously, he's a big part of that cast of that show. One of my favorite shows out there, folks. Twin Peaks certainly is an interesting show, a quirky show, but also a very, very 90s thing. You know, it really was massive. I remember being in high school when that first season came out, and just how huge it was. And everyone was having cups of coffee and blueberry pie. who else we've got there? We've got Ernie Lively playing Chief Biggs. He has quite a fun moment. And, of course, he's the guy you see in Air America in the truck while Robert Downey Jr. is trying to give him a hard time. He's been in quite a few things, but very funny in this one. As one of the many people that need to be dispatched by John Cutter, we've got Mark McCauley playing Vincent. Now, Mark, I do believe, is an actor, but he's also a stuntman, if I do remember. But mainly known for acting, I guess, as a character actor these days. But I can remember seeing at least near stunt work and stuff like that sometimes. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've seen him a lot around, is the action parts and stuff like that too. And obviously, he's known for a lot of different roles over the years. Cop and a Half, Saint's Eve. He's also known for, a lot of TV shows as well too. But once you see his face, you'll know what I mean. He's definitely an actor that you've seen before, and is a veteran when it comes to all that sort of stuff too. So we've also got in this one, one of the big parts of this film is the plane itself too. That is just as big. The film was directed by Kevin Hooks. Screenplay by Dan Gordon and David Lowry. We've also got story by Stuart Raffle and Dan Gordon as well. There we are. It's a producer. Cinematography by Mark Irwin. Music by Stanley Clark. And it came out on November 6, 1992. With a budget of $15 million, it made $66 million. There you go. That is why Wesley Snipes was such a bankable star. He was definitely somebody that could entertain, you know, action crowd. And did it extremely well. It certainly is one of the big parts of what makes this film so good. So, a British international terrorist by the name of Charles Rain, obviously played by Bruce Payne. Isn't that funny how Charles Rain rhymes with Bruce Payne? You know, it does. And his nickname is the Reign of Terror by those that are putting out, of course, his exploits in the news and stuff like that. And, you know, it's certainly trying the times of the FBI and the police and all that sort of stuff. The start of the movie opens up where Charles Rain is undergoing surgery, and he's just about to get it done so that he looks completely different and evades all forms of law enforcement. But, of course, this is foiled when they crash in on him, and in the middle of this, he goes on a bit of a run, of course. Part of this run is that he's then captured by the police, and he's then going to be transported on the plane to where he needs to go to, obviously, the trial and all that sort of stuff. Next scene, we jump forward to where we see a former U.S. Secret Service agent by the name of John Cutter. He's a decorated soldier and also a widowed police officer as well. So a former police officer. And, of course, he's haunted by the death of his wife, who was, she was killed in a robbery in a convenience store. And, of course, from here, he's tried to obviously build up his skills, I think, in response to, you know, the horror that he went through as well, that too. From here now, he's actually teaching classes in what to do in hostage rescue and hostage issues in planes when, of course, kidnappings happen and, of course, hijackings in this case in planes. So Cut Up is approached by his old pal, Sly Del Vecchio. Isn't that the greatest name in movies ever? Sly Del Vecchio. Played by Tom Sizemore. He's an old buddy of Cutter's. And he says, look, hey, Cutter, I need you to become the vice president of the brand new, anti-terrorism unit for his company, Atlantic International Airlines, AIA. Of course, Cutter doesn't really want anything to do with it, but Del Vecchio and, of course, the president, Stuart Ramsey, played by the one and only Captain Christopher Pike. That's what Bruce Greenwood basically, convinced him to do the actual thing itself too. And so this is part of what will be, obviously, the opening of the doors of him into this action role. And so he becomes the 57th passenger on the Atlantic International flight that's headed to LA in California. And, of course, one of his students is on board, Marty Slayton, who's also got a great intro in this, in that those scenes too, played by Datcher, and she's one of the flight attendants on the actual plane itself. But on this too, we have, of course, Charles Rain and two FBI agents that are basically his escorts on the plane, taking him to where he needs to go. And, of course, we get some great scenes here where Bruce Payne, is hamming it up as a villain on the plane. His charisma, his droll eyes, you see him darting around looking at things to do. He even, stirs up a kid who is basically going around fake shooting people. And, of course, he does it back like a gunslinger. And it's quite a funny but creepy moment too, as he's the killer of the two. So he's quite unsavory towards people around him, but at the same time, you could sense that there's something else going on, particularly when they overpower the FBI guys. And, of course, Charles Rain then gets clear. So what happens is Charles Rain and a couple of his men and women take over the plane, and, of course, they are then, of course, trying to commandeer it to go somewhere else. And, of course, John Cutter's involved, so John Cutter has to become, of course, the hero here, and the hero that they need. And, of course, from here, he sees what's happening while he's in the toilet. Folks, that's right. He goes to the toilet, comes out of the toilet, finds that something going in there. No. He basically takes out one of the guys that are in the plane, smacks him into the toilets, and then when he comes out, he then tries to overpower the henchmen as well. And basically, he uses the people around him as well to try and get to where he needs to get to. Of course, Cutter is trying just by himself using the body shield of the bad guy, while, of course, then we got Charles Rain doing the same, but with, of course, the FBI agents. And, of course, he's happy to do what he can. Cutter, of course, is, doing all the things that you do on a plane. He tries to get through storage area, finding weapons, and, of course, working alongside Marty to try and get off the plane. Of course, Forge is one of the many people that he has to get through when he goes down there too. And in this too, he gets kicked out of the plane. As he does, this is where we have this great action scene, which is set in pretty much the tarmac and, of course, the airport, where a local sheriff by the name of Leonard Biggs, played by, of course, Ernie Lively, actually arrests Cutter. And, of course, they think he's the one that's done it on the plane. So we have these great scenes of interplay between him and, of course, the local sheriff. And, of course, comedy ensues, folks. From here, this is where we have your quintessential stuff, where you have the negotiations starting. And, of course, Charles Rain then starts to talk to the airport, of course, the tower there, and tries to get their way. From here, the majority of the rest of the film is about Cutter getting back on the plane, even though we have a fairground action scene as well, well laid out. It's quite a lot of fun. And, of course, we then have a few chases in the cars and the tarmac and stuff like that. And then, of course, one-on-one Bruce Payne versus Wesley Snipes. Yes, that's right, on the plane as well, too. The action's done incredibly well in this film. It's solid. It's obviously of the time, so a lot of it's in-camera stunt work at its best. I'm sure there's miniatures with planes and stuff like that, but apart from that, a lot of what you're seeing is him and, of course,
the many stuntmen and actors as well out there doing the martial arts and, of course, doing the majority of the stuff that's out there. A lot of what you see in this film, martial arts-wise, is straight-up karate. There's, you know, the kicking. There might be a little bit of Hapkido here and there with some of the wrist locks and stuff like that he ensues, but most of it is striking and kicking. And a lot of it's just very well executed. There's one thing that Wesley Snipes does well, and I think he's learnt well being an actor, is to portray martial arts in such a way that the violence is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, nobody likes violence, right? You know, we train in martial arts. Why? We train in martial arts not to fight. And so showing not only, you know, this is the choreography makes it look deadly. And that's what's most, I think, you know, powerful with what Wesley's done is that you see that. And also the urgency of a fight. You watch a lot of his scenes, you can see, you know, they're not just a fighting stance where he's standing still. You know, like Muhammad Ali or any boxer, any great boxer, you need to keep flowing, keep moving. And that's a bit of the capoeira influence in some of the fighting there too, is that in the Jenga, you do not stay still. So that's one of the things I do love about this film is that it really, it plays on that, you know, and we've got a lot of that in those scenes. And of course, it carries on into a lot of the other films that he's done. You know, Blade has some great capoeira-like scenes that use the same rhythm, you know, that same feel of, you know, it doesn't need to be a rigid stance like Jean-Claude Van Damme's, Dolph Lundgren's, that sort of thing. It needs to flow, you know. No one stands still in a fight. Nobody. And that's what the great things here is that we see too. What I love too in this is the charisma that he has this cutter. You know, it's a stoic charisma, but it's also, you know, a real heart to it. And that's what I love about it. You know, it has that. And I don't think a lot of people realize just how, you know, tough a role like that is. You're playing the lead hero in this. You know, if you're the lead actor, you know, you're always, particularly this time, the action films, you know, there was always a certain way of, you know, you had to be stoic, tough, have those one-liners. And, of course, he gets the biggest and greatest one. Blade, for example. The ending of Blade has one of the greatest taglines ever, you know. You know, he's just about to kill Deacon Frost in, you know, and Blade, and he says, you know, some people are just trying to ice skate uphill. What I love about Passenger 57 is the rewatchability. And you know, being, you know, action film of the era, you know, they're only so many minutes long. This film in particular was, you know, only about probably about 100 minutes. Not even that. It's probably less, I'm going to guess, 85 minutes. Let's have a look. 84 minutes long. There you go, folks. 84 minutes long. But there you go. It's like watching an episode of TV. It's quick. It's bang for buck. And that's what I love about those, you know, the era. You know, you got films like Showdown in Little Tokyo. It's a little over 72 minutes. You know, they're not long, but yes, you get what you want. And it's carved up very quickly. Films like Commando, you know, they're all very, very fairly quick films for the most part. But what we get is a tightly packed, you know, bit of action. And this one, that's what I love about it. You could watch this back to back and you get more out of it. There is a bit of heart and soul to this, but it's also quick. And I think one of the great things about it is we get some really interesting bad guys. Forge is a great bad guy in this. You know, we also obviously have Liz Hurley's got some great moments, but Bruce Payne really brings it home as Charles Rang. Folks, this is a solid 4 out of 5 stars on, of course, the Lethal Mullet podcast.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s their discs, their LPs, everything. All covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.